Thank you. Thank you. look at them.
Pastor Wilker, we're glad that you're with us this morning. I found out that I have been hacked. So if you get an email from me asking me to asking you to do something or to return it, check the email. I put some extra calling cards out there because it looks very familiar. My email address is larry.cedo. That one says pastorlarry.stlukeselca. So it's close, but if you respond, you'll get hacked. So keep that in mind. Announcements are in the bulletin. On Thursday, not Tuesday, the transition team will be meeting again. Are there other announcements need to be made? All right. Then let's stand and turn to the confession and forgiveness, which is printed in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, you give the Great Commission, 579. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. And for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Justice and mercy prevail, the ruins will be rebuilt, and light will rise in the darkness. It is a day for new beginnings. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of the evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We'll now read Psalm 103 responsively inside the back of your bulletin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's body, name, holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases?
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy?
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's?
O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The second reading is from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Using images of Moses from the Old Testament, the writer presents a striking vision of the new covenant of God made possible in Christ. There is no longer fear, only awe in the new promise in Christ into which we are invited. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and a darkness and a gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leaders of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on a Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from a manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite your children to come up. Hi there. How's it going?
Good
so far?
Okay,
super. Well, I want to tell you a story. It's about a little girl in Russia. She had heard about this magnificent palace, and she found out that if a child could get a key to that palace, every room in that palace was filled with toys or sweets or all kinds of wonderful things that they could play with all they wanted to. Well, every child in that town wanted a key, right? One little girl went up to the doorman and said, "Sir, I'd like to have a key." And he said, "Well, the key is only for those who do something for somebody else." Well, she was happy about that. She went out and she found somebody who was a poor beggar. He didn't have any food, and so she helped him and gave him some food, and then she ran back and she said, "I helped a beggar so that I could get a key." And he said, "That won't work. You have to do something for somebody else." Well, she didn't know what to do. She went and looked around town, and she found somebody who was really, really poor and couldn't make it across the street by herself, so she helped her across the street, and she went to the doorman and said, "I'd like a key to the palace, because I helped this woman get across the street so that I could get a key." And he said, "No, that won't do it. You have to do something for somebody else." Oh, my goodness, see? She didn't know what to do. So she went looking for somebody else she could help. And she found some people who didn't have any food. So she ran around and she found food for them and gave it to them and then came back for a key. But it wasn't enough. She had to do something for somebody else. Well, she was really upset and she decided to go home. She didn't have any idea how she could find anybody else to help. And she heard some crying in the trees. And when she went to look, it was a little dog that was caught in a trap. And it was a strong trap. And she forced the trap apart. And finally, she cut her fingers on the trap, even getting it apart. And when she finally got it apart and got the puppy free, she picked it up in her arms and carried it home. And on her way home, the doorman came and said, Here, this key is for you. And she said, oh no, I wasn't doing something for somebody. I was just helping this puppy. And he said, that was the whole idea. You were to help somebody besides yourself. You were doing all of the other things to help yourself, not to help them. So what do you think Jesus would want us to do? Help other people, right? Not so we could get into heaven, because he's already made that certain for us, but so that other people would be helped, just because we like to help other people. That makes sense? Yeah. Let's thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to help others. Help us to see in all that we do that your hand of love is with us and working through us. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. When I was serving the church in Springfield, Missouri, not far from where we lived, there was Crystal Cavern. It was a new cavern. You know, there are lots of caves in that area, just like there are here. There are some that you can even drive through. And there are some, well, and there's one down by Carlsbad, where we live now, that where you can take an elevator down to the lowest level, so it isn't so strenuous. So there are all these nice fancy ones. Well, this was a fairly new cavern. A family owned the farm on which the cavern was located, and they had started this business of showing people into the cavern, because there were some beautiful stalactites and stalagmites, and in some places there were some fantastic crystals, some of which I have never seen before. And when we went, the granddaughter of the man who owned the farm and the cavern gave us a tour. And she said, we're developing all of these different paths through the cavern, and it's in some places it's kind of dangerous. So we have a rule. Grandpa set a rule that said, nobody can work down here alone. And she said, with a smile, Grandpa broke his own rule. He came down here and was working by himself because his son was supposed to be there but couldn't be there. And so he was working down there and he saw this hole in one of the walls. And when he went over to it, he flashed his light in there and he thought, wow, that is beautiful. Some beautiful crystals in there. She showed us the hole. It was about that big. And he thought, I'll just slip in there and then I can get a better look. Well, guess what? He got stuck. He couldn't go forward. He couldn't go back. He stuck there. And he was stuck there for 3 or 4 hours before the family gathered for supper and found out Grandpa wasn't around. So they had to go searching the cavern to find him. And of course, he was a little embarrassed by that, but the squeeze was too tight. And I thought about that when I was thinking of an article about Barbara Mandrell. Remember, she had a major accident. And the only thing that saved her was a seatbelt. She said the seatbelt saved her and her passenger and squeezed them into a relatively safe location, because everything else was destroyed. They still had to take her out with the jaws of life, but she credited her life with the seatbelt and encouraged people to wear them. The people Isaiah is writing to have been in a very tight squeeze themselves. Some of you may remember, no, you won't remember, 587 BC. You weren't around yet. But in 587 BC, Babylon came down. Nebuchadnezzar brought Babylon to conquer Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and thereby Judah, the southern kingdom. Carried many of the people off into exile. Now, they didn't have an air-conditioned motorized boat, boat or there wasn't water around. They didn't have a bus that they could go back on. They had to walk the entire way, which is over 1,000 miles. Can you imagine walking 1,000 miles? To me, one of the incredible parts of that story is that most of the books of the Old Testament arrived in Babylon, where they were edited and worked on. That when you think about the fact that the people who were exiled could only take what they could carry. Now, those scrolls were heavy, and they had to carry them 1,000 miles, which meant, I don't know about you, but think about what you would take. That's a tight squeeze. How do you get everything that you really think is valuable into a package that you can carry? But to them, the scriptures, or some of them, the scriptures were that important. And that meant that much to them. Isaiah writes that he's reminded them in the past, and he reminds them again, that they got where they are in Babylon because of their sin. That they had forgotten the Sabbath as an important part of their lives. And he said, if you return and return to remembering that the Sabbath is a holy day, God will restore your treasures and will restore you to a new life. Isaiah wasn't the only one who warned people about this. And we read the book of Hebrews, we find out that these people are under a tight squeeze of persecution. This is an era of time when there are emperors who are wanting people to bow down and worship them. We have Nero and Caligula and Domitian and a number of others. That's the important thing for them, that everybody bow down and worship them. And those who didn't received incredible tortures and pain. Burned at the stake as living torches for Nero, I believe it was. Sawn in half, skinned alive. You name the horror, and they had to experience that. And yet, they held on to their faith. And at this very time, when you would think everybody would give up and say, well, yeah, we'll just go through the motion of bowing down, these were people who held on to their faith and for whom their faith meant more than anything else. But sometimes we take even our religion too far. Jesus points that out to the scribes and Pharisees and those who are attacking him. Can you imagine being bent over so far that you can't look up for 18 years? This woman has nothing to look forward to because she can't look forward. And Jesus brings healing to her on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a precious, holy day. Most of us have lost track of how important Sabbath is. In fact, I told one group this past week that in any congregation I've ever been in every congregation I've ever heard of, even the big box churches, two-thirds of the congregation is missing on a Sunday morning. Well, look around. Is that about right? We have about a third of our worshipers here. The message of Isaiah, the message of the Hebrews, the message of Jesus is clear. The Sabbath is a holy day that we should pay attention to. But remember what it's here for. It's here so that we can worship the Lord our God and receive His blessings in return. That we can lock ourselves in the box, as I said last week, and try to pretend that Jesus is kept here. But remember what it says at the doorway, that we go out to serve. We don't stay. In other words, as we leave, share the good news is what we are called upon to do. And that's part of what being a part of the Sabbath is. Unfortunately, many people wait too long. You ever notice that? We wait until maybe a deathbed confession or a deathbed something or other before we take seriously what it means to be God's people in the world. I remember visiting a family in Nebraska. They owned a business where they sold shoes and boots and leather goods. And they told me that they wouldn't be in church very often because they had to go out on weekends with their big trailer and all their goods to sell at rodeos and at any opportunity they had. And they would support the church in any other way. And then I got a call from the hospital in Omaha. It's about a 3-hour drive, asking me to come because she had had a stroke. And when I got there, she couldn't even communicate. And the next day she died. And when I went to visit her husband at home, he was full of grief, not just because he had lost his wife, but he said, "You know, for several years, we were planning to retire. And we really wanted to travel. We wanted to do things that we'd always talked about. And we just kept putting it off and putting it off. And now, it's too late. We've lost it." Think about your relationship with your Lord. Are you waiting for some inspiration to inspire you, to get you going again? Or are you ready to say, "Lord, here I am. Receive me and I receive you"? Because Jesus does say that. He says, "Come, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." St. Paul went through some difficult times and some difficult stresses also. And as he said, we are put down, but we are not crushed. We are persecuted, but we are not in despair. No matter what happens, Paul knew that he had a Lord who would watch over him wherever he went. Can we trust in that Lord to lead us all the way home? May we grasp on to him and know that at all times and in all places, he's with us. Because today, he says, "This is my body. This is my blood. Come, receive me, and I'll be with you always." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Are there people or concerns for which you'd like to, that you'd like to add in prayers today?
Kathy.
Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation.
Lord of mercy, we cry to you for help, trusting in your compassion for your whole creation. Raise up the baptized to offer Christ's healing and forgiveness and to all in distress. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
We rejoice in your creation, water that nourishes lands and creatures, gardens and fields with a diversity of plants. Bless scientists and artists who show us new ways of understanding the complex beauty around us. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
We seek the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Come to the rescue of those who are displaced by war, famine, or other disasters. Bless diplomats, peacekeepers, rescue workers, and all who are given aid through their efforts, so that peace and plenty prevail. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
You provide deliverance and justice for all who are oppressed. Free those in bondage to substances, gambling, and other forms of addiction. Release victims of human trafficking and bring them to safety. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
You know our needs in this community. Heal the hurts of all bent over with sickness, aging, or suffering, especially Kathy, and the orphans in Belize, who I mention now, Susie, Myrtle, Ashanta, Orlando, and Stephanie, and those we name in our hearts. Accompany those who visit the homebound members, the hospitalized, and those who are in prison. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
You raise up witnesses in every generation. As we remember those who have passed into your peace before us, comfort us in the sure hope of your Son's resurrection. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God. All these things and more we ask in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to us, to your people in every age. We know you came to rescue us. A baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. Our sins would drive the nails in him. That rugged cross was our cross too. Every breath he drew was yes and alleluia. Traditional Lord's Prayer this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated. Please stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may Almighty God bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Almighty, the King of creation.
the good news.
Thanks be to God.